questions, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. As always, the message has been, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the compassionatefriend.org website. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and there are some transcripts also available from the Open to Hope Foundation, which brings you the show, and the Grief Blog. Well, Heidi, I'm just kind of amazed. Well, first of all, let me say our topic today I really think is an important topic because we've had so many people over the past 3 years comment on the loss of adult children losing parents, haven't we?
Absolutely, and it's such a significant loss because, I mean, you've had your parents in your life for your entire life, and all of a sudden to have them gone, and I don't know what that's like. Cause both my parents, thankfully, are living. Obviously, my mom's alive because I do the show with her. But, you know, to have that hole and that void in your life must feel very strange. And I do think, and we will get into this, I do think society does minimize these kind of losses because they think, well, it's your parents. They were supposed to die before you.
Right.
Why is, you know, that's the order of things.
And we always talk about having your sibling die or, you know, your spouse or whatever. These are out of the ordinary. And, yeah, so there can be a minimizing. But we're going to have Pamela Gaby and Alexander Levy on talking about this. They both lost their parents. Well, Heidi, I wanted to also mention it's 2 weeks now until Thanksgiving. And I wanted to tell all of you out there, we have a really special guest on our show on Thanksgiving. Heidi and I worked very hard to find somebody that we thought could bring you a really message of hope and give you some inspiration and lots of ideas. So we asked Bernie Siegel if he would be on our show. Bernie Siegel has been a major writer. He's a physician and has had many best-selling books on getting through. A lot of it was getting through illness or loss of health or whatever, but he has a lot of wonderful ideas, doesn't he, Heidi?
He really does. And the thing I like about him is he's very empowering. He empowers people, and he lets people know, look, I can't heal you. You need, but together we can work together to do this. You're going to help yourself to do this. And he's got such a positive message, and he has a lot of Bernieisms, I call them. You'll know when you hear the show what I'm talking about. He's got a lot of life lessons that he integrates in and a lot of stories and a lot of poems, and he's wonderful. I would highly recommend the show.
So I would suggest that on Thanksgiving Day, I know it's going to be really busy, but I would suggest that you tell your family or whatever that you need to take that 1 hour break. It's 9 o'clock California time, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard, and the Midwest, you know, is 2 hours different. So take that time out to listen to our show that day. We pre-recorded it because the station doesn't work on Thanksgiving, but they just do the pre-records. But we've really made it a special show. And I was saying to Heidi today, you know, I think a really neat thing to do would be to get yourself a candle and take out that hour and light a candle and listen to the show for the loved ones that you've lost and give yourself that special time so you feel like you've done the Thanksgiving thing. Because one of the things that we've heard a lot of people say is, I go off to relatives or whatever and nobody mentions my loved ones. So take that time out for yourself.
Absolutely. And for those of you that can't, don't have access to that hour, you can listen to it on the archives the next day.
Absolutely. So take, again, I love the candle idea and sit there and give yourself that Thanksgiving gift. Mm-hmm. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today and our topic? And...
Sure, I'd love to. Our topic today is adult children losing parents, and our first guest is Pamela Gabby. Pamela, do I say your last name Gabby?
It's Gabby.
Gabby. Okay, there we go. Our first guest is Pamela Gabby. Pamela Gabby lost both of her parents as an adult. Their loss has had a powerful impact on her life. She is a certified grief counselor and president of the California chapter of the Association for Death Education and Counseling. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you.
Pamela, it's great to have you on the show today. Well, I'd like to start the show by having you tell us about the loss of your parents.
Sure. When I was 25, my dad was killed instantly in a truck accident, and at the time, I had my first child, a three-week-old baby girl. And I always talk about July of 1990 as being the month that I learned about, you know, life by having my daughter, and then about death by having my dad die the same month.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom died. She was 51. My dad was 49 when he died.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom, a few years later, when I had another child who was still under a year, my 51-year-old mother was diagnosed with cancer. And unfortunately, it was stage 4, and she died 2 weeks later.
What type of cancer did she have?
You know, it was so far gone, they're not sure if it was colon cancer or possibly started in her lungs as lung cancer. They really didn't know at that point.
So you lost both your parents within 2 years?
2 years.
And they were both
very young.
They were both very young, and it was about 3.5-year span mm-hmm. between the loss of both of them.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the impact of that.
You know, at first when my father died, I'll be honest, didn't know anything about grief. And being only 25 years old, I went into survival mode, and I spent time caring for my infant daughter. And I really, mm-hmm. I didn't do this consciously, but I chose not to deal with the death of my father. And when I took my baby into work, I asked everybody in advance, please do not mention my father to me. I don't want to talk about it. I have my baby daughter. Mm-hmm. I stopped listening to country music. I put away all his photos. And then about a year and a half later, you know, the roof sort of caved in, and I had to start dealing with the death of my father.
Now, did you feel anything with the death of your father that you were taking care of your mother and you needed to be strong for her?
I did, but I have to say, it's interesting now that, you know, I dedicate my life to helping grieving individuals. At 25 years old and a brand new mom, I wasn't able to cope with my own mother and her grief. And I remember telling her, oh, you know, Mom, you just need to, I don't know that I said get over this, but I remember being very stressed out by her pain. Mm-hmm. And not understanding her grief on any level.
Mm-hmm. So kind of shutting it out. That's interesting, not understanding her grief and her pain, then you couldn't deal with your own. You almost didn't have permission to do it, did you?
I didn't. And I felt at that time my first priority was to my brand new baby girl.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Here you are taking care of your baby girl, and you're in survival mode because you really need to stay strong to take care mm-hmm. of an infant.
Right.
And then your mom needs you, and it's almost like, you know what, I've got to stay strong and keep my focus on my new baby.
Right.
And also, you'd have, you know, recovering from having a new baby, it takes a while.
It does. And I have to say, looking back, I do not remember the first 6 weeks after my dad died, including the first 6 weeks of my daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was in complete survival mode, and I didn't understand anything about grief. But when my mom died a few years later, I knew that grief catches up with you. I learned that from my dad, so from his death. So I did the opposite. I dove right into my grieving when my mom died. And I listened to, you know, tape recordings of her voice, watched videos, talked about her all the time, cried all the time. So I almost
and
had
do you think you were kind of grieving for both of them at times?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I remember very vividly that feeling of, wow, no more parents.
And no more grandparents for your children.
Absolutely. That was a secondary loss that was really tragic and continues to reverberate in my children's lives, not having, you know, grandparents from me.
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep the memory alive for the kids? Is that an important issue for you?
Very much so. I ended up becoming a grief counselor because my parents died. I ended up... really just having one of those moments that I think some of us in this field have, where we're coping with our own loss and our own tragedy. And I was praying when, right after my mom died, I was praying for some relief from this intense pain. And during the middle of that prayer, I started saying, please, God, if you take me out of this pain, I will dedicate the rest of my life to helping grieving people. And it was like I was struck by lightning from that moment on, and that was about 14 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
And you talk about, I read that you saw a center near you called the Morning Star Center, and you were so struck by that because your mom had always talked about a boat called the Morning Star.
Absolutely. My mom worked here in California off of Oxnard. She worked on a fishing boat called the Morning Star, and she did that throughout the 80s. And I couldn't believe it because after they had both died, I was back in school to become a grief counselor, and a center for grieving children opened right here in Palm Desert, and it was called the Morning Star, you know, just spelled slightly differently with M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
There are so many signs that come to people who are there and open. You know, people email me and they say, how can I find them? Do I need to find a psychic, a medium, or whatever? And I always email them back and say, there are so many signs in the world that look for your signs.
Right. Things pop up everywhere. And you asked, how do I keep the memory of my parents alive, especially with my children? It actually has evolved as a result of my career. You know, every day I feel that I'm honoring them. When I actually just go to work, I feel that I'm honoring my parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for us to go to break. And when we come back from break, I want to talk a little bit more with Pamela Gabay about her parents and what she has done and how she found the kind of help that she got to help her move through the loss of adult parents. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com. These shows are open to you, brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. We have many wonderful articles on the foundation site by some major people in the field of grief and loss and talking about health and healing, so we hope that you'll visit us there. And remember, all these shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and they are also archived on our site. Please stay tuned to hear more from Pamela Gabay about adult children losing parents.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking today with Pamela Gebbe about adult children losing parents. Welcome back to the show, Pamela and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, I wanted to say one thing. Pamela Gebbe is also one of our writers for the Open to Hope Foundation, and we're very happy to have her with us and in our community. And you can go to our foundation website, Open to Hope, and read some of her writing. Well, today we're talking about the adult children losing parents. And Pamela lost both of her parents, if you're just tuning in. How many years has it been, Pamela? 14.
14 plus years. Yes.
14 plus years, and her mom died at her dad died first at age 49 in a truck accident, and her mom died at age 51 of cancer. And I'm sorry, first of all, I want to say I'm very sorry, you know, to hear about that. And we were talking about the loss of grandparents for her kids and that kind of, and how she keeps the memory alive. But what I wanted to ask you quickly for our audience out there who are suffering the loss of a parent, how did you make the move? You started grieving. You said you didn't grieve for your mom. You did for your dad. How did you get support to do that?
I ended up, a lot of my support came from returning to school, believe it or not, and diving into the grief literature and grief books, and then volunteering at the Morningstar Center, I think actually helped me the most.
And tell us about the Morningstar Center.
Sure. The Morningstar Center opened here in Palm Desert in 1995, and it is a center for grieving children, and we have a center here in Palm Desert. We also have a center in Victorville, California, and three additional Morningstar Center programs in these two counties. And we help grieving children, teens, and their entire families with concurrent grief support groups.
Oh, that's great. What a program. And then also, tell us about ADAC. What does that mean, ADAC?
Oh, ADAC. Okay. ADAC is the Association for Death Education and Counseling. And I co-founded the first chapter in California, and it's actually the only chapter in California. And ADEC is an excellent organization for primarily for professionals, but it's a great resource, and everybody involved in ADEC truly loves the field.
And they also have a therapy referral site there.
On ADEC, yes, they do.
If you go to their site. Now, talk about Camp Erin. You're doing so many things.
I love Camp Erin. Camp Erin is a children's grief camp, and we do that once a year up in Big Bear, California. And we take about 60 grieving children and teens and about 70 adult volunteers and staff. So we end up having more adults up there than kids. But it's a week in bereavement camp designed to help kids cope with their grief, remember the person who died, and have fun. Often people forget that grieving children really need the opportunity to have fun without feeling bad.
And that's put on by the Moyer Foundation, by the way. You can go on their website find out about the camps, right? Funded by the Moyer Foundation?
It is, yes.
Camp Erin.
And I think one of the powerful things about a camp like that, because they have America's Camp, too, for 9/11 kids,
uh-huh.
is that you can go into a camp and the kids don't necessarily always have to be talking about their grief, but they can see that they're not alone and that other kids have had loss as well, which
Absolutely.
I think is healing.
Absolutely. And I think that is the magic of a support center for grieving children and a camp, is that mm-hmm. kids and teens come together, and they're not the only person there grieving, and they're not different.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like, getting back to our topic of adult children losing parents, one of the ways that you've done and dealt with it for our audience out there is through service.
Yes.
And what do you think service has done for you?
Well, I have to tell you, when I first started volunteering, there was a young 10-year-old who both her parents had died. And she shadowed me in group. This is at the time that I was a volunteer. Instead of working at Morningstar, I was a volunteer. And this 10-year-old shadowed me in group and went everywhere I did and did everything I did. And she taught me so many lessons, because here she's 10 years old and both her parents have died. So through volunteering and service, I was able to find new meaning. And I also was able to see others who, in some ways had it worse off than I did. At least I had my parents, until I was in my 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things would you say if I'm, feeling low and depressed? And I guess the first thing is self-care of yourself, right?
Absolutely. You know, give yourself time to grieve. One of the things our society does, and I don't think society means to do this and individuals mean to do this, but parental loss when you're an adult is minimized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that feeling of you plan the funeral and you're sad for a while and then you should just bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't find it to be that way at all. For myself, I didn't bounce right back. And I know I struggled with my friends who were in their 20s. They didn't understand what I was going through at all. They had no awareness. And so I didn't find that I was supported by society.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that I had hoped I would be. So it's important to give yourself time to grieve, and it's important to enlist other members of your own family, to help you with that. I would suggest attending a grief support group.
And I think you can find those grief support groups through your local hospital, or do you have any suggestion how people might find those, probably on the Internet?
I think with the Internet, that's the easiest way if you have access to the Internet to go in, and you can always call your local hospice for a referral. They're most likely running those bereavement support groups, and if they're not, they know who is in your community.
Absolutely, because a lot of communities and hospitals and hospices have support systems, but you do need to reach out. But I always think, and I did always say, the people who blog to us, the people who listen to the show, mm-hmm. you are reaching out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and touching a lot of lives. I was wondering also, Pamela, if you could talk a little bit about the fact that you're the co-owner of griefposters.com and what that exactly is.
Okay, sure. Griefposters.com is just what it sounds like. It's a grief poster company. And when I first became program director of Morningstar Center, I wanted to do some decorating and redecorating, and I could not find any type of posters or items, you know, that were large enough for a wall that reflected grief and reflected what all of us are feeling. So a great friend of mine is a graphic designer, and the two of us got together and collaborated and created this grief poster company. And the posters are simplistic, especially for children. One of the posters has a picture of a little boy, and it just says, "I miss you." Another poster says, "We grieve as deeply as we love."
So they're really inspirational.
They are, and, you know, my hope is that the moment a grieving person or a grieving child walks into the Morningstar Center, they know that we get it,
mm-hmm.
just by reading the posters.
I love that. And for those of you listening, if you want to go on to that website, we do have it listed on our foundation under Pamela's author page. So I've never, ever heard of of any company that specializes in grief posters. I love that idea.
Oh, thank you.
I do, too. It's an excellent idea. I'm thinking if you don't have one, you should probably have one for grieving for adult parents.
You know, we're actually expanding, and we're working on some new posters right now. So we have a lot of different directions we're going in because we've had a lot of requests from different organizations and individuals with suggestions.
What a great idea to be able to do that. Well, Pamela, if you had one piece of advice for someone who's grieving out there for their parents, what would it be?
I would say first to honor your feelings. And to validate your feelings. And you are sad because your parent has died, or both your parents have died. And you are sad for a reason. And honor their memory and honor yourself by taking that time to grieve. Maybe taking a little bit of time off of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lessening some of your other adult responsibilities that you have.
You know, that's an interesting thought for an adult. I mean, maybe my parent, I'm 50 or 60, and I may have a parent in their 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that really minimizes the time that people, you know, want to realize that it is difficult for you. My 90-year-old mother died, and I'd like to take a week off.
Yeah, right. I was just thinking of that. I was thinking no matter how, because I focused a little bit on the fact that Pamela's parents were younger. No matter how old our parents are when they die, it is a very difficult loss.
Very difficult.
Mom, even if they're 90.
Yes. And it's a shock to our system.
Yep. And you know what? A 90-year, I will tell you, the older your parents are, because my mother died at 83, the more history they've got and the more you call them up to find out what, you know, who did what when.
Yes, exactly.
And it's just, you know, like, wow, I really miss not being able to call and check in and find out.
And like you said, when your parents die, you lose a part of that history, the family history.
Absolutely. I'm in the middle of three girls, and my sisters and I have agreed about 10 years ago that we'll each have our own story and our own memories because there is no one to call and fact-check our memories.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a disagreement about something that happened, we've just agreed to disagree.
That's good because that's true. You know, last night I went to dinner with some people, and we were talking about the financial situation, what a difficult time we're having in this country right now. And we all started talking about our parents because we're older, about how they talked about the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So the history and is rich and interesting. Well, Pamela Gebbe, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for writing for the foundation, and thank you for the work you're doing with ADAC, Camp Aaron, the Morningstar Center, all the wonderful things you're doing, I believe, in honor of your mom and dad.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, and we're going to break now. And our next guest, we're going to continue with the same topic, and our next guest is going to be Alexander Levy, the author of The Orphaned Adult. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, I'm Eric Kippel, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichippel.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lossresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaires be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and our second guest today is Dr. Alexander Levy, and we're talking about adult children losing parents. Dr. Alexander Levy explores with us the journey of coping with the grief and change after the death of our parents. It is never too late to grieve about being an orphaned adult. He is the author of The Orphaned Adult. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you.
Hi, Alex. It's great to have you on the show. I have to tell you, I picked your book up about 2 years ago. We have gotten so many requests from people who are adult children who've had parents die. And your book, The Orphaned Adult, I found very fascinating.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the death of your parents for our audience? They were both adults. Your dad died first, right, and then your mom?
Yeah, my dad died quite unexpectedly from complications from surgery when he was in his mid-80s, and then about 5 or 6 years later, my mother died.
Mm-hmm. And in your book, you talk about how people don't seem to recognize the impact of older parents dying, right?
Yeah, it seems that we've come to believe that that's just the natural way of things, and that when you get older and your parents are old, the next thing to expect would be that they die, and what's the big deal? But, of course, it's a very big deal.
Right. You know, we often talk on the radio show, because we have on the blogs and things, about how difficult it is to lose a child because, you know, it's not in the sequence and order of things, and how difficult it is to lose a spouse for the same reason and a sibling. And it is true, that is out of the order of things. But, you know, you lose a huge amount when your parents die, don't you?
Well, you do, and I don't even know where this notion of the order of things comes from, and except in the last maybe 75 years. Prior to that, it was quite ordinary for people to lose children and for people to lose siblings, and death was very much part of life.
Wasn't it like, at the turn of the century, something like 80% of kids died or
sure.
You know, from infections?
We have now so institutionalized and sanitized death that it seems like it's an insult to life rather than a natural part of life, and we've separated it out in a way that separates us from part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Talk about mourning being a transition. That was interesting in your book when you talked about that.
Well, it is. Mourning is going into a time which will now be different than things were in the past. And the paradox of mourning is that we enter grief because everything has changed. And the dominant fear we have while we grieve is that now things will always be the way they are.
And it will always be sad. And
sure.
We'll always suffer. And
we don't have a real sense, because our culture doesn't teach it, that this is a transformational time. And particularly with the death of parents, what happens to us as we go through the process of saying goodbye to them as living people in our lives is that we start to find out who we're going to be next.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because I know you've talked about what does it mean in terms of our own identity,
right?
To lose
right.
our parents, and you know, how do we, like you said, what happens as far as holidays when our parents have been doing, you know, orchestrated everything and been in charge of everything, and all of a sudden they're gone, and what does our family look like?
Well, that's right, and for many families, it is really the parents, despite the age of their adult children, who kind of keep everything going, and are the kin keepers, as the anthropologists call them, the people who know everybody's story, who know how everything got to be the way it is, and who call everyone together for holidays, and just the question of, well, now where will we celebrate Thanksgiving now that the parents are gone is monumentally confusing.
I love that. They're the anthropologists.
Yeah.
That's excellent. You know, I think one of the things you talk about in the book, too, which I think is important, is surrendering to sorrow. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I find that one of the things when you finally give it up and surrender to it.
Well, yeah, we are encouraged to believe that we're in charge of our lives and that we should be able to be in charge of how we feel as well. And so we try to manage our way through confusing times. And the metaphor I use in the book is learning how to swim. What you really learn when you finally learn how to swim is that your body knows how to swim, that unless you're a bodybuilder and have no body fat, your body floats in water.
Mm-hmm.
And that the thing to do is stop trying to do things and just surrender to the water, and you'll be fine. Likewise with grief, if there's really nothing to do but surrender to it and let that part of you that knows how to grieve and knows how to move you through that time take over.
I like that idea of the water. And then you talked about the grieving process as kind of being a storm, too, which I thought was a great analogy.
Yeah, it really is. It is just a time of chaos. And it's not uncommon that when people come to see me, they talk about wanting to get through this so they can get back to their lives. And it seems to be helpful when I point out to them that actually this is their life, and what's going on right now is what's going on in their life. It's not a departure from the true and correct path of their life, but it is as true and correct as any other time of their life.
So even though it's a storm, we will be able to weather it, it sounds like.
Yeah, storms pass.
I think people are terrified, Alex, that they won't be able to weather it and that they will not be able to survive the pain on some level.
Yes, I know that, and I even know that fear. I know that fear because, you know, it's one thing to write about and think about and talk about these things, and it's quite another to go through it. And despite how much I know about it, when I go through it, I'm just as frightened, just as disbelieving that things will return to some kind of even keel as anybody else. So, of course, we're afraid, and that's why it's helpful to reach out and get some help from someone whose voice you can follow and whose wisdom you can trust, whether that be a clergy or a therapist or a friend or a member of the family that may be less intimately involved with the loss.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're normalizing the feelings, and I think that's very helpful to people to say, well, it's normal that you're feeling this way. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Others have felt this way, too. It's part of the process. I mean, I think that puts people at ease oftentimes to hear that.
Well, sure. I mean, because people feel nuts when they're going through this. Every familiar navigational point is changed, and they are literally disoriented.
Absolutely. And you had a great analogy, too. I like your storm and swimming, but that grief is like a fingerprint. So we can't tell people exactly what their stages are going to be, right?
Right. And each loss might even be a little different for each person. So it is a process of discovery as well as a process of realignment.
Yeah. Can you talk about that fingerprint idea a little bit? Because I thought it was very, very good.
Well, it came out of some studies that, you know, up until maybe 20 years ago, everything we knew about grieving came out of what's called a clinical population. In other words, people who were in treatment for one problem or another that is related to grieving. And no one had really ever taken a look at what the ordinary population goes through when they grieve. And about 20 years ago, there was a study done on the ordinary population. Just questionnaires were sent out for people who were willing to be interviewed, and skilled interviewers went out and interviewed people and found out what actually was it like for you when you lost your child or your husband or your brother or your sister or your parents. And they found out that the range of ordinary grieving among ordinary people is extraordinarily wide, that for some people, literally, grief lasts 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Intense 20 minutes of sorrow and horror and disorientation, and then a lifetime of memory and occasional wistfulness. Well, the storm is over.
Mm-hmm.
And for other people who function fine, who go about the business of doing their lives without the need of any extraordinary intervention, 10 years later, every day they are deeply immersed in sorrow and a sense of fear. And so once we got to understand that each individual grieves his or her own way, and that there is no standardized process called grief, it really freed us up to help people start understanding their own grief as a process of discovery rather than trying to make it fit.
I like that process of discovery. That's a wonderful thought. Well, we have a caller, and let's see if we can organize this all. Hopefully our engineer is listening. Martha. Is Martha there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Martha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Did you have a question or a comment for Allison?
Well, my mom was 81, and I thought she was a very young, vibrant person. I thought she was way too young to die. And then a couple of months later, after she died, my daughter had a baby, and I thought, who do I call? Who do I call to celebrate that I have a grandchild? Because mother was no longer there.
You know, even
then,
I think even President Clinton commented on a similar experience when his mother died, that often during the day he would find himself reaching for the phone and then remember that there was not going to be anybody on the other end.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she had a, she was going to go on a cruise and several months. And when the cruise time came, I was actually angry at her because she was not going on the cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's complicated, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Martha. It's great to have you calling in on the show, and good luck on your journey with your loss of your mom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martha.
I think Martha also brings up another good point, that we can feel abandoned when our parents die.
Well, we are abandoned when our parents die.
Right.
Yeah, I think that that's part of our most primitive terror as children, is that something will happen and we will be left without parents. And then as adults, if our parents survive through our childhood, then as adults we eventually realize that terror by, in fact, finding that our parents are gone.
And also, Martha talked about the anger. I mean, you know, when we're kids, we get angry at our parents because they don't take care of us, and here they are not taking care of us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, the anger is a very kind of comfortable defense that we have. It's kind of a shield against the more profound feeling of despair that there they are not taking care of us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, when my father-in-law died, my husband said, you know, I've always done things in my life to make my father proud, and now there's no one to go to make proud, you know, that's going to be proud anymore.
I know, and one of the things that I find so interesting is that I'll often wonder, you know, what my dad would think about or what my mother would think about something I'm doing or a decision I'm making or a situation I find myself in. But the dad or mother that I think about and wonder how they would feel about what's going on for me are not who they would be had they survived. I mean, if my father and mother had survived, they'd be in over 100 years old,
right,
and I'm sure would be totally disinterested in any plans I had rather than, you know, what was going to be for breakfast would be pretty paramount in their interests.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a much younger dad, a much younger mom.
That internalized
about.
Parent
mm-hmm.
that you
right.
have, the
you're
parent
right.
that you remember. Yeah.
And that's the one who, you know, still pops in for a visit every now and then.
And they straighten you out and help you sometimes, too.
Yes, they do. And they're still not impressed.
I was saying earlier on the show that we got together with some people for dinner last night, and we were talking about the economic situation right now, and we were talking about our parents' comments about the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and would it be interesting right now to say to them, okay, we're going through this financial crisis, what did you do? Tell us more about how you guys weathered that storm.
Yeah, and I think that our you know, in that conversation that we have in our minds, they answer in a way that would be consistent with how they dealt with things, whether, you know, if they were supportive and encouraging parents, they would say, oh, you'll do fine, you don't need to know what we did, you'll figure it out for yourself. And if they were diminishing competitive parents, they would say, oh, you think this is hard times, you don't know anything about hard times. And yeah, we would have the same conversation with them around this as we would have had all our lives about so many other things, which is trying to get them to join us in our lives in a way that I don't think can really happen. I don't think that that generational barrier gets crossed very easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things is got to be difficult for people who lose their parents, who had some problems with their parents that they thought they were going to resolve someday.
Well, that's right. That someday is what part of what gets lost, and that loss is very huge.
Mm-hmm.
The potential for finding the parent you always hoped you'd get
right.
is very big.
Yeah.
And I've also heard people say, wow, I didn't realize what my parents were going through when I was a teenager, because there was so much conflict between us until I had teenagers.
Right.
And now I empathize with my parents so much more and feel so much more connected, because now I really get it.
Well, yeah. That's right. And likewise, we don't know what our parents went through as they became very old and died. And
right.
Eventually, perhaps, we'll come to know that as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time for us to take a break right now. And I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. And we're talking to Alex Levy about the orphaned adult. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com. And you can also go to the Open to Hope site to read some of the wonderful writings by our authors. And you can blog into us through thegriefblog.com. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, Drs. Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the Foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking with Dr. Alexander Levy, author of The Orphaned Adult, about adult children losing parents. Welcome back to the show, Alex and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Alex, we've got a couple of emails. We've had people come on to the Grief Blog and give us comments, and we've kind of been saving them up. And one of them was from Anne from Burlingame, California, and she said, "I am a never married retired school teacher. I live with my parents for 30 years. My mom died 5 years ago, and I have been taking care of my dad. Dad died just a few months ago, and I can't seem to find my way through it. Any thoughts?"
Well, yes, that is your way through it, is by letting yourself be lost. It is a time of huge change and disorientation, and nothing is the same. And for the first year after the death of the second parent, we are continuously running into reminders. You know, the Thanksgiving is coming up, and it'll be the first Thanksgiving without parents. And then there are the holidays of Christmas and Hanukkah and all of the celebrations that come around the solstice. And then there's the New Year, and then there's Valentine's Day, and then Mother's Day, and birthdays. And every one of those events is jarring because the absence is so loud and so present. It's like a hole in the universe shaped like our parents that hasn't yet become integrated in our view of life. So I would say that not being able to get a grip would be an excellent indicator that you're going through this just right.
I like that idea. That is the way you get through it. You let yourself be lost.
Yeah, you are lost.
That's right, and I love it, getting back to your analogy again, but your body does know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like you're crazy, but you're not crazy. It feels like you're lost, but you're not lost. You are in unfamiliar territory.
And it feels like you're going to die of a broken heart.
Yeah, there's a lot of body imagery that comes out of the grief vocabulary, whether it be a broken heart or a part of me is missing. There's a lot of body imagery that because our body is our primary source of imagery, it does feel quite lethal. And I guess in a way, it really is a death, because it's the death of the person who had living parents and the birth of the person whose parents have died.
Right. You know, I in one level, both of my parents have died, and there were occasional moments when I thought, you know what, I don't have to answer to my mother anymore.
Well, yes, that's one of the complex aspects of this, is that there are times where you feel very free and very, very liberated, and my goodness, you just feel awful for feeling so good about it. But there it is.
This is interesting. It's from a male, Ron. Oh, by the way, Ann, thank you very much, and please continue to blog on with us. Ron from Bar Harbor, Maine, and he says, both of my parents have died recently, one at 91 and one at 93, only 2 months apart, strangely enough. I'm ex-executor of the estate, and my two sisters and stepbrother are fighting over the household items. I want to grieve, but I'm feeling really angry. I'm drinking a bit more and not sleeping. My wife suggested that I go on to your blog.
Well, good for your wife, Ron. That's it's good to get a little bit of a roadmap here, because drinking isn't going to help, and it is extremely upsetting to see how times of loss bring out both the best and the worst in us. And siblings fighting over the inheritance and over position within the remaining family is one of the manifestations of the worst of us that we see, and it's really hard to tolerate. I would certainly encourage that you engage a lawyer to handle the technical side of this, and that you let yourself just be one of the grieving survivors of this catastrophic loss of two parents in a very short period of time.
I think that's a great idea, having them bring a lawyer in, because sometimes families try to save money, and it's just way too much stress. The person doesn't get to grieve.
Right, and you have to try to figure out how to do stuff that you've never done before. Even if you are a lawyer, you've never dealt with the estate of your own parents.
Right.
And at a time, you know, where it's really hard to focus, it's really hard to concentrate, and someone who's experienced at this, let them figure it all out, and most of what needs to be figured out can be postponed. There's really no urgency to get anything handled, and just go ahead and you know, close up the house, put everything in storage, sit down and cry.
I love it. Well, thank you. On that note, Alexander Levy, thank you so much for being on our show. Your book, The Orphaned Adult, how would people get it?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's in most bookstores. It was published by Perseus about 9 years ago, and it's still in print, and it's both in paper and hardcover, so it's really not hard to find. And
it's It's a really helpful book, so thank you so much for being on the show.
Well,
and
thanks
good
for
stories
having me.
And
it was
a
nice
very interesting book, and you're certainly forthcoming about your own life and your own experience, which always makes for a very good read.
Thanks Alexander.
Thank you. It's time to close our show now, and please stay tuned again next week when our topic will be miscarriage and infant loss, and our guest will be Kira Copperman, president of KBC Consulting. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Please stay tuned again next week, next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Pamela and Alexander, thank you for all the work you both do to help adult children heal after losing their parents.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.